this podcast thanks to the REDAC Advanced Learning Skills Course, helping students improve the way they learn, read, study, and take examinations. Call 9744 3135.
It's a measure of where we are on some of these things that a very, very significant report released yesterday, which won't receive much publicity. It's called Cooking Up a Price Rise. Will coal seam gas exports push up the price of gas? As you've heard me say many times, this is an area, coal seam gas mining, littered with untruths. But of course, there are all sorts of alliances. One recently between the Australian Industry Group, can you believe, business, who ought to know better, the AWU and the Australian Petroleum Production and Exploration Association, the mining interests, who've got their foot inside government doors everywhere across Australia, and these people in an alliance in support of coal seam gas mining. Well, I don't have a problem with that either. It's where we mine that is the issue. But the argument is, let's go ahead, full slather, doesn't matter where, dig the stuff out. You've got Harcher and his fellow travellers, dishonest fellow travellers, telling us there's a shortage of gas. As I've reminded you many times, the 2012 Australian Gas Resource Assessment Report, prepared by Geoscience Australia and the Bureau of Resource and Energy Economics, showed that Australia had 390 trillion cubic feet of identified gas, excluding shale gas. Enough gas, the report says, to maintain current production rates for 184 years. And according to the former Resources Minister Martin Ferguson last year, quote, shale gas could potentially double Australia's gas resources. And these plentiful reserves aren't just in WA. The BHP Petroleum Chief Mike Yeager said last year, and I quote, we have a lot of gas in eastern Australia that's available. It's more important to let the citizens of Victoria and New South Wales, and to some degree, you know, even Queensland, there's a plentiful supply of gas in those provinces for, you know, indefinitely. Unquote. We don't have to touch Sutton Forest, or Gloucester, or Kyogle, or Appin, or Oakdale. We don't have to be mining above the water table. We don't have to be ruining prime agricultural land. We don't have to be in the middle of Tara in Queensland damaging people's health. We don't have to be destroying the Darling Downs. There is no shortage of the stuff. But the only reason gas will become expensive and in short supply is because the east coast of Australia is gearing up to export the gas, meaning you will have to pay the expensive international price, because there's no one looking after you. And this, as I've said a million times, can only be resolved by introducing a gas reservation policy. But in the meantime, all these mining outfits are just trying to scare the public so that they can go full steam ahead. Of course, the banks are watching. The banks are now wondering whether all the undertakings given by the mining industry can be realised. The banks are starting to ask questions. By the way, I've had a stack of emails and letters about all of this, about this business, about the shortage and what price should you be paying, etc. Just go to www.2gb.com, www.2gb.com, click onto my page, Alan Jones, and you'll see the article, There Is No Shortage of Gas. It's just a transcript of what I've been saying. As I said, we've got almost 200 years' worth of supply and gas reserves. Any suggestion we're running short is rubbish. As for the business about let's go anywhere, open slather, and therefore we have a petroleum onshore amendment bill, which thankfully Barry O'Farrell has pulled, where permits could be issued for miners to go wherever they want and force their way onto property. There are members of the state parliament like Kevin Humphreys, George Souris, Kevin Anderson, Thomas George, Chris Galaptus, Prue Goward, Stephen Bromhead, Mark Coulton, Gareth Ward, Brian Doyle. Where do they stand? Their electorates contain farming land and other land threatened by coal seam gas. Who are they representing? And that's why farmers and landholders around New South Wales and Queensland have been locking the gate. And it's time the right to lock the gate was recognised, even in legislation. People are writing to me. Ross said, quote, read the permit that allows the holder to enter your property and take resource samples, etc., etc. If you were to arrive home one day and find me in or on your property, you'd probably ask me what I'm doing there and then call the police. Why is it the state government wants a system where a particular person can have a permit to enter your property and the property owner can't eject the person or call the police? They're legalising something which would otherwise be illegal. Or as Roy said to me, quoting native title in the High Court decision, and he was arguing that what's happening in relation to coal seam gas is like the days of Stalin. He said to me, quote, native title includes the right, quoting from the High Court decision, native title includes the right to possess and occupy an area to the exclusion of all others. This includes the right to control access to and use of the area concerned. As Roy said to me, well, what about the rest of Australians of the non-Indigenous variety? Why don't they have the right to possess and occupy an area to the exclusion of all others? Why is it only for Indigenous Australians? I would have thought a fair point, which brings us back to the report by the Australia Institute. It's an independent public policy think tank based in Canberra. It's funded by donations from philanthropic trusts and individuals, memberships and commissioned research. Since its launch in 1994, the Institute has carried out highly influential research on a broad range of economic, social and environmental issues. Which brings us to today, because households in eastern Australia are about to be hit with more gas price increases, which could see wholesale prices triple, according to their research, and I have no doubt it's accurate. New research from the Australia Institute. The independent think tank's paper, Cooking Up a Price Rise, finds that wholesale gas prices will rise from around $3 or $4 a gigajoule to around $9 a gigajoule. Indeed, the senior economist at the Institute, Matt Grudnoff, said the increase is linked to plans to sell gas from Eastern Australia overseas. I've been telling you this now for more than 2 years. I raised this issue at the National Press Club in 2011. He says, the senior economist, the minute Australia's domestic gas market is linked to the world gas market, the Australian price will increase. He said, at the moment, Australians pay relatively low prices for gas, and so we should, we've got heaps of it. And that's why the industry is so keen to sell it to the foreign market instead. Now, of course, we have the completion of the Gladstone liquefied natural gas facilities. That's where all this coal seam gas goes, and it's liquefied and then exported. That will enable gas companies, foreign companies they are, in eastern Australia to sell gas overseas in massive volumes for the first time. And here's the guts of it. The senior economist, Matt Grudnoff, said at the Australia Institute, many in the gas industry would like us to believe that public opposition to coal seam gas, that's people like me, is the reason for the impending price increase. But it's the determination of the gas industry to sell to the highest bidder. In other words, it's not the lack of supply that's going to drive up gas prices. It's the introduction of coal seam gas as a new form of supply. And the report finds that without new coal seam gas developments providing an additional source of gas, it's unlikely that gas production in eastern Australia would be large enough to justify the construction of the export facilities needed to sell this stuff overseas. Shorthand, that means we're going to put 40,000 gas wells on the Darling Downs, we'll have tank loads of this stuff to export, destroy agriculture, bugger farming, bugger food security. Let's get this stuff out of the ground all at once and sell it to an energy-starved international world at astronomical prices. Hence this outstanding report by the Australia Institute, which says, quote, once gas from eastern Australia is being sold overseas, consumers will be at the mercy of world prices, unquote. This puts the lie to everything we've been told and confirms everything I've been telling you. On the line is the executive director of the Institute, Dr. Richard Dennis. Richard Dennis, good morning.
Good morning.
Can we establish a couple of points? One, gas prices are going to rise.
They certainly are. The industry are looking forward to it and telling their shareholders to expect exactly that.
Absolutely. And the price rise, take bananas or potatoes, sometimes when we have a cyclone in North Queensland, no bananas, price goes up because it's a problem of supply. This is not driven by a lack of supply.
Not at all. It's because once the Australian gas market is joined up to the world market, the Australian price will rise to the world price.
And the world is hungry.
The world is hungry for gas, and we've got plentiful gas, as you said, at low prices, but the price is likely to triple.
Because we can get the export price, and outfits like Japan are happy to play three or four times what our wholesale price is. When I was working in Canberra in the 70s for the Prime Minister then, we'd have these endless debates and discussions at cabinet meetings and everywhere else about what was called export parity pricing. And that was because we may run out of oil and therefore we can't be afforded to selling it cheaply because that would only encourage guzzling. So we then raise the price of our domestic supply to the export price. That was called export parity pricing. Why the hell do we have that with gas when it's not us that's running short? It's the rest of the world.
Well, that's right. The answer is greed. I mean, basically, at the moment...
Sorry, what's that word?
Greed.
How do you spell that? How do you spell that, Richard?
With a capital G.
Thank you, and a capital an R, and a capital E, and a capital E, and a capital D.
That's the one.
Government greed and mining industry greed.
That's right. At the moment, they're stuck selling gas to us at low prices. It's profitable. They're making money do it, or they'd have stopped already. But as soon as they can export it, and CSG is central to their plans, as soon as they can export it, rather than sell it profitably to us at the prices we pay today, they're going to sell it to us at a price that's three times.
And indeed, contracts have already been signed for gas that isn't yet out of the ground.
Well, that's right. And the chief financial officer at Santos earlier this year said he was very comfortable with the speculation that the price would triple. That's what they're working on.
That's what they're telling the banks.
That's right.
And their shareholders. So they're bullying governments, bullying farmers, bullying communities to get the stuff out of the ground to honour the export contracts at these inflated prices.
That's right. And then, you know, I think the worst thing of all is then they go and blame the wrong people. And we quote this in the report, but Rick Williams from the Petroleum Export Association says that rising gas prices are something we have to get used to, and we need to get on with developing New South Wales gas resources. And anyone who's worried about gas prices says they've got their local anti-CSG activists to thank.
That's it. Just unbelievable, isn't it? That's why Wagner is building an airport at Toowoomba without any public consultation, without any discussion with the public, pretending it's a passenger airport, but it's a conduit for coal seam gas because the Darling Downs is being destroyed, some of the best agricultural land in the world. So if they're going to get export prices or at the export parity price, gas companies see this as a license to print money.
They're going to make a fortune because, again, they're happy at the moment.
And they're not Australian companies, by the way.
No. I mean, we Australians will see very little out of this. And, of course, the real irony is that the food and other exports that are currently being produced, we're going to have less of those and more of these.
Agriculture land buggered forever.
That's right, but the profits from the agricultural land generally stays here. The profits from the gas exports will go off overseas with the gas itself.
You could solve this with one stroke of the pen, with a gas reservation policy. So if you want the contract to export, that's fine, go ahead, but a certain proportion of the gas that you mine will be kept locally and sold at this price with a cap on it, so that industry in Australia will be competitive, so that we'll have this source of our international competitiveness, namely cheap and abundant sources of energy.
Indeed. And of course, the opposition to that from the gas industry is that if we do that, their profits will be lower. But again, other manufacturers in Australia that currently use gas, their costs are going to go up, their profits are going to go down.
Richard, they already have. Renewable energy plus electricity prices and the carbon tax has already sent 57,000 manufacturing workers out of work. As you know, the manufacturing industry is on its knees because of the escalation in energy prices.
Well, this is going to put more pressure on energy prices than any of those things. For heavy gas users, a trebling in the wholesale price. We've never seen anything like it.
No. These are the new rivers of gold.
Look, rivers of gold, but again, unfortunately, they're not Australian-owned rivers of gold. The gas is here at the moment, but the gas and the profits will soon be offshore.
That's it. And the O'Farrell government, the Bligh government, Newman government have said, hey, go. Get this stuff out of the ground. Good stuff. Way you go. Do your best.
Well, and then, as you said, they then blame the anti-CSG people and suggest that it's something to do with supply, when, as the report spells out quite clearly, it's got nothing to do with supply. There's plenty of supply. It's the new sources of supply and the fact that it'll be liquefied and exported at Gladstone. That's
it. And the world's crying out for the stuff because they don't have it. We've got a stack of it, and we're going to bugger up agriculture, food quality, water quality, remove the aquifers, reduce the water of the aquifers. Hey, a wonderful paper. Thank God for you people. Thank God for you people. But good to talk, and we might have to talk again.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're most welcome. An outstanding paper. There it is. And here we are, alienating us, telling lies about us, those who are opposing it. That's the real story about gas, and we'll continue with it next week.
This podcast, thanks to the REDAC Advanced Learning Skills Course, helping students improve the way they learn, read, study, and take examinations. Call 9744 3135.